Well, we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday in Exodus 28 with verse 41. But we're going to be beginning a new section this morning that will carry over at least three services, perhaps, all the way through chapter 29, that I'm calling Preparation for Service as Priests. Preparation for Service as Priests. Now, we may not see it, this shift in how the chapter divisions were made. Remember, the chapter divisions are not inspired of God. They're simply there as helps to find things and to organize. But there's a change of direction in the Lord's instructions to Moses beginning in verse 41. Here in Exodus 28, we have been seeing up to this point a description of what Moses was to make for the garments of the high priest and for the garments of his sons, the regular priests, what they were to wear as they went about their priestly duties. Going back to verse 6, he commanded Moses, make the ephod. Verse 15, make a breastpiece. Verse 31, make the robe. Verses 36 and 37, make a plate of pure gold and fasten it on the turban. Verse 39, weave the tunic, make a turban, make a sash. And then verse 40, we ended with last week, for Aaron's sons you shall make tunics. You shall also make sashes for them, and you shall make caps for them for glory and for beauty. And there's still one more important part of their garments we have yet to see. But in verse 41, there is a change. Look at this, verse 41. You, Moses, shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. So the Lord now begins to talk to Moses about the consecration of the priest, setting them apart for their ministry as priests and what that would entail. So as we think about the new covenant fulfillment of this in regard to Aaron's sons, remember Aaron being a type of Christ, our great high priest, as we think about those who served as regular priests in the ministry of the Old Covenant Tabernacle, as we think about the fulfillment of the regular priest, is this only, as we go through this section, is this only about those who serve in the New Covenant Church as pastors, as elders, as those many refer to as ministers, which I've never been fond of because it miscommunicates some things? You know, as if I'm the one who ministers in my role as a pastor, and you're the one who's ministered to in the church. No, no. Brothers and sisters in Christ, from the youngest of us to the oldest, both men and women, as believers in Christ, we are all ministers. Ephesians chapter 4 declares this so clearly, that part of my role and Ron's role and John's role as elders, as pastors, is to what? Equip us. And that us includes me, includes Ron, includes John. To equip us, Ephesians 4 says, for works of ministry. All of us. That the body of Christ might be built up. And included in this truth is the precious biblical doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers. That in Christ, by the grace of God, through faith in Christ, we are all Christian, set apart, consecrated, anointed to serve Him as new covenant priests. I want you to see that with me as we go through this section. I want you to get excited about this as we see its fulfillment in Christ in the New Testament. We are priests unto God. Every Christian, 1 Peter 2:9, by His grace made part of a royal priesthood. Did you know you're part of that? You're part Christian. If you're a believer in Christ, you're part of a royal priesthood. Revelation 1, verse 6, by his blood made to be a kingdom, priests to God. So what does that mean, that we're priests to God? How does that happen? I mean, how could I, a sinner, even be worthy of that calling? How am I enabled to do this? These are questions we're going to be dealing with over the next couple of weeks in the rest of chapter 28, the first half of chapter 29, as we see the consecration of Old Covenant priests in service to the Lord and what this is picturing for us in Christ. And then, Lord willing, we'll look at the second half of chapter 29 and see the duties of the priests, which point us to our duties as New Covenant priests. And now all of this, again, points us to Christ, points us to salvation in Christ, the gospel that we believe, and Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel in which we stand. Well, let's be encouraged in that, I pray. So begin reading, following with me as we read, beginning again with verse 41. The Lord says to Moses, you shall put them on Aaron your brother and on his sons with him. And you shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. You shall make for them linen breeches to cover their bare flesh. They shall reach from the loins even to the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they enter the tent of meeting or when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place so that they do not incur guilt and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. Now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them to minister as priests to me. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil. You shall make them a fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and present them in the basket along with the bull and the two rams. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. You shall take the garments and put on Aaron the tunic and the robe of the ephod and the breastpiece and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. You shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. You shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and bind caps on them. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. So you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. So you shall ordain or consecrate Aaron and his sons. Aaron the high priest, who is a type of Christ, and his sons, who are a type of us. You shall ordain or consecrate them. The verb at the end of verse 9 is the same verb that is the middle of the three verbs back in verse 41. Which describe the preparation of the priest for the service of the Lord. End of verse 41, you shall, here's the three verbs, anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them. Some translations have anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them. The first verb, anoint, means an enabling for service, which is an important part of the ceremony that we'll see in verse 7. The third verb, consecrate or sanctify, means to set apart for service. And that's what's happening here as well. But that second verb, which is the verb repeated at the end of verse 9, is translated in New American Standard as ordain. Other translations have consecrate. It literally means, if you got this in your textual notes, in notes, it literally means to fill their hand. To fill their hand. You know, we talk about people who have their hands full with a lot of responsibilities, right? This being Mother's Day, we can talk about mothers who have their hands full in caring for their children. To ordain or consecrate means to have, here means to have one's hands filled with the service of the Lord, to be fully committed to his service. Later on, we'll see the duties that this service entails. But first today, we'll see how the Lord qualifies us for this service. How does he qualify us for this service? Both Aaron as high priest, the type of Christ, our great high priest, and his sons as regular priests, a type of us as new covenant priests in Christ. So as we go through this, we're going to look at this consecration here, or this ordination ceremony, we could call it, from the perspective of, first of all, the old covenant priests, and then how it points us to Christ as our eternal high priest, and finally how it applies to us, all of us Christian. This ordination ceremony is for all believers in Christ, as new covenant priests in him. So, first of all, let's look at this in light of the preparation of old covenant priests. The preparation, number one, of old covenant priests. In verses 42 and 43 of chapter 28, we see how God prepares for the covering of their nakedness. Verse 42, "You shall make for them linen breeches to cover their bare flesh." So these are like boxer shorts, reaching from the loins, it says, even to the thighs, to cover the nakedness of the priests. Where does this draw our minds back to? The beginning, Genesis 3, right? After man sinned, the shame of nakedness that came with man's sin. A need for a covering of that nakedness. And remember how Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. And then they tried to hide themselves from God. How effective was that? Not very effective, as we even read in Psalm 139 earlier. We see there in Genesis 3 how God, in his mercy, came and sought them out, provided a sufficient covering of their nakedness, a picture of the covering of our sin. Through what? Do you remember how he covered their nakedness? Through the shedding of blood. Not their blood, as they deserved, but the blood of a substitute, which of course pointed to the Christ to come. So the first step in the preparation of the old covenant priests for service to him is a covering of their nakedness with linen breeches or linen trousers, some translations have. A picture of his provision for the covering of the shame of our sin with his righteousness, white linen. So that verse 43, as they went about their priestly ministry in the tabernacle, they do not incur guilt and die. And then chapter 29, verses 1 and 2, says Moses was to take one young bull and two rams without blemish, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers spread with oil, made with fine wheat flour. Later in the chapter, we'll see why there are three different forms of this wheat bread. Bread, cakes, and wafers. And we'll see more specifically what happens to these animals and to this bread. But basically, they will be offerings to the Lord to represent different things. We'll talk about, Lord willing, next week. But what is it that they all have in common that we see here in the text? The bull, the rams, were to be without blemish. And the bread was to be unleavened. Leaven or yeast here being a picture of sin, impurity. So these offerings had to be perfect, had to be pure. Because not only did these sinful men serving as priests need their shame covered, they also needed a positive righteousness credited to their account by faith. They needed the righteousness of a substitute, of an offering provided by the Lord on their behalf. We'll get into the details of these offerings later. Then verse 4, they had to be washed with water. Washed with water. The word here for washed is a whole washing, a bath. A baptism. They were brought to the doorway of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and washed in water from head to toe. It was a symbol of purification, of the washing away of sins. Wearing their linen boxers, they were washed from head to toe upon entering the service of the Lord in order to be prepared for his service. We can think here of Jesus washing the disciples' feet in John chapter 13, remember? When he came to Peter, remember Peter said to the Lord, "Never shall you wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And so Peter says, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." How did Jesus respond to him? He said, "He who has bathed a whole washing needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you," referring to Judas, who would betray him. In other words, the 11 disciples had their sins washed away through faith in Jesus. Their hearts had been bathed, washed in him by faith. And then, as they sinned as believers, they would need to confess their sins, renew their fellowship with him daily, have their feet washed in their daily walk. But their position before God as a whole was as those who had been bathed, washed, clean, Jesus said. "You are clean, new hearts by the shed blood of Christ." Hebrews 9:14 says, "The blood of Christ, which cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So the old covenant priest, upon entering the priesthood, in preparation for the priesthood, would be washed from head to toe. And after that, daily, as we're going to see in chapter 30, they would only need to wash their hands and their feet in the bronze laver. Then, verses 5 and 6, having been washed, then they would be clothed with their new garments provided by the Lord. These garments that we've been looking at throughout chapter 28, the last few weeks. Verses 5 and 6 refer to Aaron and his garments as high priests that we've looked at. And then verses 8 and 9, Aaron's sons, the garments provided for them for their service as priests, placed upon them by Moses. Upon Aaron would be placed the woven linen tunic, verse 5, and then the blue robe, and then the ephod, and then that breastpiece. Into verse 5, he was then girded with the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and then placed upon his head, verse 6, was the turban with its pure gold plate that we saw last week, which was engraved with what? "Holy to the Lord." Referred to here as, interesting, the holy crown on his turban, the holy crown of the high priest. So the high priest was washed. Then he put on all these symbols of Christ. And then the sons of Aaron, verses 8 and 9, were provided with tunics, which represented, remember, the righteousness of Christ, the white linen tunics. The righteousness of Christ credited to us by faith. His righteousness by which we stand before the Father. His righteousness by which we serve him as priests. Clean clothes. And then girded with sashes. Remember the sashes which represent girding up our minds with the truth of the gospel, so that we can do our work effectively for Christ, the truth of the cross. Every day we need to gird up our loins with the truth of the gospel. And then wearing the caps or hats representing submission to the Lord. So the priests were covered. Sacrifices were prepared. They were washed. They were dressed with their new identity in which they would serve the Lord as priest. And, verse 7, Aaron as high priest was anointed with oil. Anointed with oil, with a special blend of oil and spices that we'll see later in chapter 30. And it would be poured by Moses upon Aaron's head. and it would run down his beard and run down his garments. In fact, we get a picture of this in Psalm 133. It's a real short psalm. It's only three verses. It's an illustration that's used here. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down from the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. What was the symbolic meaning of this anointing? This anointing as we see it throughout the Old Testament? It was an enablement. It was an enablement for Aaron for the office of high priest by the Holy Spirit. The oil in the Old Testament is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So it's enablement for the office by the Holy Spirit. Later, prophets would be anointed to their ministry. Kings would be anointed to their ministry. Remember Saul? Remember David? As the Spirit of God came upon them to enable them in their offices. Okay, so having looked at the consecration or ordination for the Old Covenant priesthood, let's now see Christ here. How is this fulfilled in Christ? Number two, the preparation of Christ, our great high priest. The preparation of Christ, our great high priest. Going back to verses 42 and 43. Jesus became our covering. Jesus became the covering for our nakedness. The one who himself would cover our shame with the sacrifice of himself. In fact, in order to do that, what did he do on the cross? He bore our shame. He bore our nakedness on the cross in our place. He took upon himself a body to be that blood sacrifice that covers our guilt and shame through faith in him. Verses 1 through 3 of chapter 29, those unblemished animals, that unleavened bread, are fulfilled in Jesus' perfect life of obedience to the Father. His perfect life of obedience to the Father. He was, as Hebrews says, without sin, holy, innocent. In him being the spotless Lamb of God, the bread of life, unleavened by sin. And then verse 4, the washing with water. The washing with water. Now, how do we see this in Christ? Well, on one level, we can think literally of the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Consider that John was able to perform the ceremony as a Levite in the line of Aaron. And John said in John 1:31 that the reason he came baptizing in water was so that the Messiah, the anointed one, might be manifested, might be revealed to Israel, whose offices include that of priest, our great eternal prophet, priest, and king. And then immediately after Jesus' baptism, you remember? The Spirit himself came and anointed him, filling him, enabling him for his office. Uniquely, in Jesus' case, as the God-man, God the Son, one with the Father and with the Spirit. Look at how we see this at Jesus' baptism. Luke 3, verses 21 to 23. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, the heavenly tabernacle. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, which, interestingly enough, was the required age for priestly service. But perhaps even more clear than that is a figurative baptism that Jesus spoke of in Mark chapter 10. There he tells his disciples as they're going up to Jerusalem that he, the Son of Man, was going to be condemned, delivered over to death, that he would be handed over to be mocked and spit on and scourged and crucified. And then after he tells them about this, James and John come to him and ask that they might sit on his right and left in glory. Look at this. Look at Jesus' response. Mark 10:38. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Jesus saw his death on the cross as his baptism, as part of the preparation for service as high priest to the Father. And then after his death on the cross came his resurrection, the putting on of his resurrection body, his new glorious garments. And then he ascended on high, taking up his office as high priest in the heavenly tabernacle, ever living to make intercession for us. And as he ascended on high, he then did what? He then did what for us? He poured out his Holy Spirit. He poured out the Holy Spirit upon his church to share with us, his bride, his sons, his enablement, his empowerment, anointed us so that we might be his body. We might be his hands and his feet in the world. And that leads us then to our final point, looking at this from one more perspective. Our preparation as new covenant priests in Christ. Our preparation, number three, as new covenant priests in Christ. Just as with Aaron and his sons, remember, who, unlike Christ, were sinners, including Aaron, unworthy, unable, unqualified in themselves, just as with them, he prepares us. He qualifies us. He mercifully supplies what we in ourselves lack. Just like here with Aaron and his sons. Because notice, with every step of the preparation of Aaron and his sons for service, who's doing it? Who's acting upon whom? It's always Moses representing the Lord in this. Did you see that? "You shall make for them. You shall," Moses, "take the unblemished animals." Aaron and his sons didn't even provide the sacrifices for themselves. They were provided for them. The unblemished animals, the unleavened bread and cakes and wafers. "You shall bring them, Moses. You shall wash them. You shall take the garments. You shall set the turban on his head. You shall anoint him. You shall gird them. You shall ordain them." Literally, "you shall fill their hands." You get the point? It's the Lord. It's his grace. It's his sufficiency that consecrates us, sets us apart, qualifies us, cleanses us, dresses us, empowers us, equips us with everything we need. As we'll see later in chapter 29, yes, we do serve him. With his provision and enablement, we are to put these things in use for the kingdom. But we could do nothing without him. We would have nothing without his provision of grace. So how? How does he prepare us? Seen here in Old Covenant type. Verse 42, he makes us linen breeches to cover all our shame. He sufficiently covers our shame. As we spoke of earlier, Christ took on a body. He became like us. He came to us in our shame. And by faith, he covers us with his sacrifice, with his righteousness. Oh, like the church in Laodicea, may we not forget this. May we not forget that in ourselves, we're not rich before the Lord. We are not fine in ourselves, are we? Now, what does Jesus say to the church in Laodicea there to remind them? to rebuke them, to get them to repent. He says, you're what? You're wretched. You're poor in yourself. You're blind. And you're naked. Before the Lord, that's our condition. And so he calls us there to what? To buy, so to speak, from him gold refined by fire. And what else? White garments from Christ. White garments so that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. See, only Christ can provide us as sinners with this covering. And how is it received? By repentance and faith in him, as the text there goes on to say. In fact, as the Lord says back in Isaiah 55, listen to this call of the gospel. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who what? Have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. How is that possible? Because someone else pays the cost. Later in verse 6, we're told how to do that. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the good news of the gospel. And then verses 1 through 3 in our text, Christ prepares us for service by providing himself the unblemished offering, the unleavened gift, the unleavened life of obedience, which we could not offer in ourselves. So that's good news, right? You don't have to wait until you think you're good enough to serve the Lord. It'll never come. It'll never come. No. Christ alone is good enough. We simply trust in him. It's in Christ that we're acceptable, that our service is acceptable before the Father. He frees us to serve the Lord with joy, with freedom. In verse 4, the washing away of our sins, spiritually baptized into Christ by faith into his death. Think about this, Christian. Romans 6 talks about this, that we are spiritually baptized into Christ's death as our death to sin's dominion over us. We're baptized into Christ's burial as the burial of our old life. And we're baptized into his resurrection as our resurrection to newness of life. And publicly testifying of that spiritual baptism into Christ, that union we have with Christ in water baptism. Testifying that Christ, in Christ, 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, we who were once enslaved to sin were washed, were sanctified, were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Sounds a lot like priestly consecration to service. And then verses 5 and following, in Christ by faith we have been clothed with new clothes, new garments. Which is what? What is our new garments? It's Christ. It's Christ. The priest was washed and then dressed just as we as new covenant priests were washed by him and then dressed in him, prepared for service, to serve him, to testify of him to those around him. Isn't that what those garments spoke of in the Old Testament? As the high priest wore that ephod, that breastpiece, that turban, as the regular priest wore their tunics and their sashes and their hats, what were they testifying to? Pictures of Christ to the people. Look what Paul says in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you are all sons, get that? connection. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized, washed into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Put on Christ. Are we putting on our new garments in Christ to serve Him? Or are we laying them aside to serve ourselves? Are we putting into practice what Christ has made us in position, in our calling? These things that we need to daily be seeking. These are questions we need to daily be asking ourselves. Another way we could put it is this. Am I walking in the truth of the gospel today? Are you walking in the truth of the gospel today? Have you put on your sash and tunic? Have you put on your cap of submission to Christ and His will? Or are we laying aside the garments He gave us and walking in the flesh? The garments of self, of our own will, our own feelings. As we close, I want you to turn with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. I want to leave us with this practical challenge in light of our new garments in Christ. Before we read from this, let's remember what I briefly referred to earlier in the anointing that we have in Christ. The fulfillment of the anointing oil upon us as new covenant priests in Christ. Which is what? The enablement of His indwelling Holy Spirit to serve Him. The enablement of His indwelling Spirit that is upon every believer, just as Christ promised. He didn't leave us as orphans, did He? But let's close by reading this exhortation here, written to those who have been clothed with Christ, prepared for service. Let's start at verse 5. Paul says, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to impurity, to immorality, to impurity, and passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." If we are believers in Christ, we need to continually do this. Consider ourselves as clothed in Christ. Consider yourself with these new garments, no longer slaves to these things of death. Verse 6, "For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self." The new self, which is characterized by what? By Christ, renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. But Christ is all and in all. And what does that look like? What does it mean to have our hands filled with the service of God as new covenant priests? Verse 12. "So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." And then with today being Mother's Day, a special focus upon the family, let's end by going down and seeing this practical application as applied to the family with verse 18. "Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, so that they will not lose heart." Let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning and are humbled by your grace upon us, which has taken us unworthy, undeserving in ourselves, naked, shameful before you. You've chosen us. You've clothed us. You've provided the necessary sacrifice. You've washed us. You've given us new garments. You've anointed us with enablement for your service. Father, help us to believe the gospel. Help us to believe who we now are in Christ. That our hands have been filled by you for this glorious work to serve you as new covenant priests. To shine before the world these new garments of Christ, of your grace, of your glory, that they might desire you and they might come and join the company of priests. Help us now, we pray in Jesus' name.